Eerycast Network.
Blog Talk Radio.
There it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
I wondered if he'll be there.
Yeah.
Wipe out.
Yes.
Outstanding. And with that theme music, I'll tell you all, tonight's topic is the Care Bears. Yeah. good stuff. So, oh, Jesus, here I am. I should have fought with this door while the creepy guy was laughing. Jesus. I swear, y'all probably think I live in like some Quonset hut or something like that, the way I fight this door. Anyhow, welcome to Pop Culture Stars. Appreciate you joining us this evening as I beat the hell out of this door. Oh, and ease into the elements out here in stormy Jacksonville, North Carolina this evening. Did I leave my beer inside? No, okay, I'll put it right there. Damn, senior memory. Anyhow, my name is Dave Atwell. I am your host this evening. Welcome to Pop Culture Stars. Now that I finally got the intro right, I have not been able to touch anything correctly this month. So bear with me as we continue the navigating the year 2023 in mediocrity with me. So with all that being said, before I screw something else up, I am going to kick it around to my much more confident and esteemed panel tonight. My buds, I'd call you bros, but we got a sis on here, so, you know, we got to spread it around unless we want to get gender. That's right. Unless we want to be non-binary where we're all its. We'll all be cousin it from that point. But anyhow, hailing from the fantastic snow-covered state of Arkansas in this corner, in the yellow, with the black shades and the darkened in beard and the hand and the big pushing.
Don't go there, Dave Atwell. No. You can disregard that statement.
Granny Hulkster, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, but yeah, you could definitely disregard the dark shades and the beard and everything like that, because that's not a part of my gimmick contest costume.
What
so,
you know, just yellow.
Just yellow shirt with the red lettering, and it's perfect there. So,
outstanding. Well, it's definitely good to have you aboard this evening. Thank you so much for joining us. As I can't even light my cigar because of the wind. Didn't take that into account. Anyhow, kicking it over to the east. Hey, I actually got directions done correctly so far. That's plus. Two. The invading, the possibly invading, planning and plotting state is Indiana, thereby capitalized by the city of Indianapolis. All those civics classes finally paid off. I was able to name a state capital. Out there in the outlying regions where the alpaca plot their takeover of the world. Tim, what is going on, my brother?
The snow-covered alpacas and I are outstanding to supernatural and ecstatic to be here. We are looking forward to a wonderful show. Yes, Indianapolis is the state capital. Can anybody, here's a little trivia question to start it off. Anybody know what the first state capital was in Indiana?
Oh, God.
Lord.
Well, it wasn't, oh, God.
That was Gordon. I'll just tell you. It was Corydon. I've been there. Pretty cool spot. Corydon.
Really? Where in the hell's that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's in Indiana.
It is way south. But the funny, even better trivia question is that is not the same thing as the first capital of the Indiana Territory. Notice I had to say state. Territory, first capital is Vincennes. There is your fun fact about Indiana. That is my introduction. Back over to you, folks.
Wow, I hear you. Outstanding. You know, and here I was getting ready to say, like, Gary or Munster. I'm sure that wasn't going to earn me any more listeners from the fine state of Indiana. That's for damn certain. Everybody in Indiana, except for those who live in Munster and Gary, are now clicking off the broadcast because of my my wine cracks. Wow. In the event you have ever, my dad was on recruiting duty in Chicago and Oak Lawn. We lived in Lansing, Illinois, and this is during the 70s, and one of his recruiting stations was in Gary. And picture in your mind, 1975, post-Vietnam era, trying to recruit for the Marine Corps in Gary, Indiana.
Wow.
It was a tough, tough gig. So, yeah, it's those little things you never give your parents credit for until you really start digging a little deeper. Yeah, they whipped your ass and grounded you plenty of times, but I couldn't imagine being a Marine Corps recruiter in Gary, Indiana in 1975, because I couldn't imagine being a Marine Corps recruiter in Gary, Indiana in 2023. So, but anywho, enough with the Indiana jokes. Tim, great to have you aboard. Now I'm going to reel this thing in here towards the south in about 2 hours, maybe an hour, 45 minutes if you drive like maybe. In the fine, fun, wonderful home away from home city of Myrtle Beach in the outlying regions. My good brother, Dr. John, what's going on?
Hey, Dave. Hey, Tim. Hey, Granny. It's good to be here. It's been raining here, and I didn't feel like going out very much, so I got a lot of work done between here and Office Depot and on the computer, so I stayed busy today and worked on things, and now I'm getting to relax a little bit. I'm going to get me some Diet 7-Up and enjoy some pop culture stars tonight.
Outstanding. Yeah, I actually am using right now, I'm warming up with a beer, but you remember those cups we got from XCon, that guy that had like the sodas and you buy the mug for $25, but then you get the free soda? Those are the best mugs on the planet. And I use the thing all the time. So what I did is I filled it up, not totally, with Peach Crown Royal, which if you've never had Peach Crown Royal, you are totally robbing yourself of any type of enjoyment. And put a whiskey ball in there. And the whiskey balls that I make are about the size of a tennis ball. So I threw one of those in there and cut it with 7-Up, and I put aluminum foil over the top of it to keep the bugs out of it, and I'll be damned if I don't have condensation frost building up on the aluminum foil because that mug is so freaking cold. I love it.
That
so now that everybody
great. Knows. Now, Dave, I've got to stop you right here. What's a whiskey ball?
Imagine an ice cube, but it's a ball. You should have two of them if everything's running right, but they're about the size of a tennis ball. And usually the ice trays for these things are like three or four long, and you put them together and you actually pour the water in through a hole on the top until the whole thing fills up with water, and
yep.
The way to do it is to set it in the freezer just to the point where that little hole is exposed and slowly pour the water in there so you don't have to carry it to the freezer. You just kind of slide it the rest of the way in there, and it makes these – imagine a tennis ball made of ice, And you plop one of those in, yeah, you put it in a regular glass or something, it'll melt faster. But if you put it in that mug that we got from XCon, that thing will not die. And it keeps your drink colder than hell. It doesn't water down nothing. I mean, it's when the rest of the world is trying to find a cure for cancer, I'm trying to find ways to keep my ice from melting in my whiskey. So, yes, that is why my folks don't claim me. That is why I am a tailspin. But anyhow, we move on to tonight's show, our first inaugural show with a new time slot tonight. Thank you to Dr. John for his connections and hard work with producing the show and everything. So we're having to kind of modify our behavior, modify our habits and everything else on the show here. And starting at 8:30 is one up. And then we will be hanging up at 9:55 sharp so we don't run over on the next show coming up. And that's what happens when you become bigger. Not big, but bigger. So, So, as we soldier on to tonight, we don't have a topic tonight. We're just going to play it by ear because everybody was kind of flying by the seat of their pants today with all the stuff going on. But I just want to throw out there real quick, and then we can run with it. I mean, Lord knows the conspiracies keep turning up, and we've had a pretty good run with the conspiracy stuff. But, man, professional sports is the gift that keeps right on giving if you do any type of work with conspiracies. Did you guys watch the Bills game Sunday? I mean,
not
do y'all
really.
Think that, do y'all think that was Hamlin in the press box?
I didn't get
I
was on a wrestling show Sunday, so I didn't get to see the game.
Yeah, okay, so I'm kind of fibbing because I think that might have been the game that I did not get to actually sit down and watch all of. I tried to get glimpses of it, so I'm not tracking what you're talking about.
All right, we'll move on. For to give you the kind of quick 2-minute rundown on what happened is, of course, Hamlin's on the mend. That fine young man is recovering from, you know, the heart attack he had and everything. Before the Bills game, he came in on a cart. He came out of the cart, and all the cameras were probably at least 10, 12 feet from him at the closest. He was wearing a hoodie, a face mask, and black shades. So really the only thing you could see on him was his nose and his forehead. And even then it was pretty vague because he was always kind of walking to the side. So you're almost more getting a profile than you were anything else. He did not interview with anybody. And throughout the game, every time they panned up to him, it was a distant, very distant, snow-covered, and just him holding his hands up and waving to the crowd. It was a silhouette. He looked almost like, you guys remember Deal or No Deal when they used to go to the banker?
The banker guy,
Yeah. So, anyhow, they're speculating. Now, there are people out there that are saying that he's dead and the NFL's covering up. Y'all stop. That is wrong. Don't say that about that young man. It's God's will that he's still living, and God is great, and I'll leave it at that. Don't say that young man is dead because he's not dead. But what I
Dave Atwell, Dr. John's going to have to do a restart on his phone. I'll be right back.
Gotcha. I'll move on inside and start looking for you.
Okay.
The question is, and where I kind of, again, Not saying that it is, but makes you go, Nobody. Now, you know darn full and well if that man made it to the stadium, he would have been doing interviews with every person in that building. Okay? And when it comes down to interviewing people, the other day when Alec Baldwin got the charges pressed against him, the press even went to his children's school and camped out there and waited for his wife to come pick up their kids so they can badger her about Alec Baldwin. So if Hamlin was indeed – ah, shit, here goes the rain. If Hamlin was indeed in the building, don't you think that they would have had cameras shoved so far up that young man's ass that he wouldn't have been able to turn left or right? And so is it the NFL doing it? I don't think it's the NFL. I kind of halfway wonder if it's the Bills organization trying to get a rise out of their players. And, you know, the old inspirational thing, win it for the Gipper type. So you got to wonder if that was a plant, because nobody has any good pictures of that young man at the event that night. And it's just real strange. Real strange. So, again, you know, sports always supplying somebody with something to talk about, something sketchy. But nevertheless, that is how things go. So, I'll close that door here. I'll click Dr. John back in if he's still with us. So, I'll throw you guys under the bus. Tim, what kind of sketchiness have you run up on this week?
Ooh, what kind of sketchiness? I just love these on-the-spot questions here. Well, you know, you've actually kind of sparked my curiosity there. With the whole football. And what was really funny, sorry, I guess I'm not really answering your question, but I am going to fill the void here. But to go back on something you had said about conspiracies already coming up, that's exactly where my brain went. As soon as you brought it up, of course I wasn't going to say anything because it's kind of a ludicrous thought, but that's where my brain automatically went was, what if he actually didn't survive, and this is all just, but, you know, obviously that's not my true opinion, but the thought process goes there, and that, you know, there's going to be mass amounts of people that start this crap, and I guess I was right. It sounds like you've confirmed my thought. And I don't know. That's a very good point, though. I'm going to have to go find the video. In fact, if I can figure out how to properly use my smartphone, I will look for the video now, the replay, while we're on mute, and then I will add my opinion to it, because that is very interesting. You're right.
Yeah,
you would think if they're going to – and I was even thinking about it, and that's right. I kind of remember now I missed the beginning of it, and I wanted to see the beginning because I thought – you know, I want to see what they're going to do. I'd be willing to bet that they're going to have him there, and he's going to come out and get the crowd all fired up. And so I missed it, and then I thought, well, maybe they didn't do anything. So I am going to search for that.
And, you know, there's some other questions that kind of go with it that take, for instance, the whole heart attack thing. I don't know exactly what heart, you know, cardiacly speaking, if you will, what procedures he went through or the diagnosis of the heart event. But
was,
I can
fill in a little bit of a gap there. They said, because you said heart attack, I didn't want to pull the tie and just cut you off and correct you, but just because I do have a slight medical background as a first responder, it was not a heart attack. It was a cardiac arrest. There's a difference there. A heart attack is basically when you have something wrong with vessels that are supplying blood to your heart. When there's a blockage there, that can create a heart attack. He went into cardiac arrest, and it was, I can't remember the name of it. I had never even heard of it until a doctor that night before anything else ever came about. I saw a video for myself that night where it was a physician talking about there is a specific moment in time, and I mean it's like a crapshoot to hit this, even more improbable than a crapshoot. It's definitely a lottery shot that you get blunt force to that area of your chest within a specific point in time of your heart beating to when it is the most vulnerable. That is what can actually set you into cardiac arrest, and that is what happened to that young man. As for what they did, no idea. I would assume they probably, above all, they probably fed him some drugs, obviously got him, you know, resuscitated and were giving him oxygen, had to give him on the vent. I would assume, just again, based off of some family that I know that have had worse issues than that didn't pull through, but typically one thing they do because of the swelling that will occur is they basically lower your body temperature a lot. So I'd be curious to know if they did a lot of that. Oh, yeah. They basically push you into – yeah, go ahead.
No, but with all that being said, and I'm glad you're doing this, you're doing exactly what I need you to do right now. So with all that being done to him, you know, going through that event, okay, some of the things that he was doing in that clubhouse, he was, like, waving his hands in the air. He was holding his hands up over his head. He was doing the little heart-shaped thing that he does with his hands, but he was doing it eyeball level and all that. And I recall when my dad had his heart surgery, if there was one thing the doc said, if two things the doc said don't do, is sneeze without holding that pillow and raise your arms up above your chest. So the question
sense.
I have is, if that was indeed him, how is that young man able to move his arms that high up after having, and what you alluded to, the you know, the swelling and all that kind of jazz? Would it even be possible for him to raise his arms up that high after having that?
Well, I can tell you, my thought is the reason why, I'm sorry, I can't remember if you said it was your dad or not. If he was told to put a pillow over his chest, that would have been, I'm assuming he had some kind of open heart surgery and they had to cut through his chest plate in order to do that. They did the same thing with my grandma.
Yeah.
Exactly right. So I think the thought there, or the reason there, is because if you sneeze, that's such a jerk reaction, a spasm, if you will, of your chest. They don't want you, I mean, I don't know if it's as gruesome as popping staples out of your chest or what, but they probably, it might even be a comfort thing. It might just hurt like hell. So the idea is you're giving a little bit of negative resistance by pushing a pillow up against your stomach.
They want you to cushion that area. They want you to cushion that area with that pillow.
Yeah, it's negative resistance, if you will. Now, what I don't know, because again, I mean, I'm not like, obviously I'm not a doctor here, but what I don't know, but my thought is that they did not have to do any type of open heart surgery because, again, this was just a matter of stabilizing his heart. I have no idea what else besides pushing medicines and monitoring him, giving him oxygen, lowering his temperature. And the lowering the temperature, if I'm not mistaken, and I could be here, I'm not trying to give a full-blown journalistic report here, but I believe that is because of brain swelling. It's not necessarily for treatment of the heart. When they lower the body temperature, that is to make sure the swelling of the brain, because that's one of those, I guess, side effects, if you will. So the idea is they try to lower that temperature to reduce any kind of negative effects of brain swelling to keep up with your neurological activity. Because I know they were monitoring, that was a lot of it, was they were monitoring his neurological activity. So if that were the case, now I don't know about the arms being raised above your head. I don't know what would, again, it could go back to if you had open heart surgery. I don't think that he had to have any of that because, again, this is just, he did not have anything that needed to medically or surgically be fixed on his heart itself. it was just the sheer force and the timing of this impact. It was such a freak accident. But I think it was mainly keeping him stable. Now, I get it. He's, you know, having to go through a lot of rehab right now and stuff. I don't know if that's all because of neurological, you know, there was that slight moment in time when he didn't have any oxygen. I have no idea what that did. But I'm not sure if you can really tie him, you know, moving his hands around to not being him based off of anything
right.
they would have done to it.
Because, you know, something
that's
I was telling my brother was, if not for the coronary event, is the bruised, cracked, or broken rib, whether, and a lot of people, when you have CPR done on you at that level,
yes.
one of the kind
Great
of rib. Byproducts of it is bruised ribs. You know what I mean?
You're right.
And
You're right. Yep.
I've had all three. I've had bruised, I've had cracked, I've had broken. And I'm going to tell you something about all three of those that have in common is when I had them,
they hurt like hell.
I wanted to pray, but I couldn't put my hands together in front of my chest to do it. That's how
oh,
bad
wow.
that stuff hurts. And I recall when I got in that car wreck, the nurse telling me it was end of February. And she says, you picked the wrong time of year to mess your ribs up, because I had cracked my sternum is what I had done, my chest bone. And I just, you know, was kind of half delirious anyway. She says, Lord, when this pollen kicks up, you're going to be hating life. And it didn't even dawn on me until I sneezed for the first time. And so help me God. Jesus, you want to talk about a pain that derived from your chest, but it hurt in your toes.
Wow.
I'm here to tell you, there ain't enough fentanyl on this planet to make that pain go away. So for him to be able to raise his hands up and wave and do kind of like a, you know, go Bills kind of motion with his hands. And the nifty thing is first off, the good news is he's recovering, and that's the fantastic news. And God bless that young man. God bless his family. I can only hope that he's able to get back to living the dream and doing what he was doing prior to that unfortunate second in his life, you know. But wouldn't it be some stuff? Wouldn't it be some fecal matter if the Bills bust that guy in, not that guy like Chris Collinsworth, that guy, but just a random dude that looks something close. Even let's say he even went to the team, even went to the Hamlin family and said, "Hey, the Bengals have had our number all year long, and they were beating our ass before the unfortunate accident happened. We need a Rocky moment. How do we do it? We got an idea." Does he have a cousin we can borrow? Or just somebody that they hung a Bills jacket on, put the sunglasses on, got about the right height, same weight, give or take. It's just strange how – but my point is that the Bills organization are genius levels, like Lex Luthor level genius, for trying to pump up the crowd, the city, and more importantly, the team. Because for all you know, the Bills organization was pulling a fast one on the team. And had him come in, or had whoever that was in that jacket come in and get up there and do the inspirational hoorah and with all intention of getting that team pumped up. So in the event that it is sketchy, but damn if it ain't smart. I mean, they still lost, but I mean, because let's face it, you know, Rocky was getting the hell beat out of him in every flick until the crowd started cheering Rocky. And that's when he started dropping them damn left and right hooks to the ribs that lifted Apollo and Drago and Mr. T off the canvas. And up until then, he was getting his ass beat. But when the crowd got in there and started Rocky, Rocky, hey, you can't tell me that the mood in the locker room was probably still somber even 2 weeks later. You know, you walk by Hamlin's locker and you're like, you know what I mean? And, you know, then all of a sudden you see him, or at least ways a figure claimed as him, up in the stands. And next thing you know, think about it. Genius. Yeah, it's genius.
Now, I did post a picture, Dave. I posted it in the green room chat, if you will. Because what I did exactly what I said I was going to do. I looked it up on YouTube. I found, now what this was, it appears to be, I'm going to say a local news station in Buffalo. That's kind of a guess. It just feels like that's probably what's going on. And they showed video clip from the game, and it showed exactly what you said. There's a cart that brings them in, and then it looks as if it doesn't show it, but it looks like video of him going into the locker room. What doesn't show is him exiting that cart, but it shows him in gray sweats. Now, what I can't put my finger on, unless it's because of what he's carrying, is he's got a red like jacket on when he's in the cart and when he's supposedly up in the press box, if you will. But
now,
is
that
not
being him in the toboggan and the gray sweats?
I guess. Because it looks like he might be carrying that red pullover, whatever, with him.
I think that might be his dad or something. I mean, he doesn't look to be 23. Not taking anything away from the gentleman in the picture.
It could be my eyes. I don't know. I did a screenshot. So I was playing the video, which I'm glad that the phones are smart enough to cancel out the noise, because I didn't unmute. So I was unmuted watching the video, but I'm assuming you can hear all that. Anyway, I took a screenshot, and they said he walked into the locker room to be. I thought it was the guy in the sweats. My eyes aren't the greatest, so
because the lady in the jersey is his mama.
Okay. Well, Yeah,
I don't know.
So,
I mean, but you know, when we get on here and we carry on about conspiracy theories and everything. This is exactly the kind of stuff I'm talking about, is that if it was indeed him, why wasn't there more? You mean to tell me that Aaron Andrews, let's just say for the sake of argument, that nobody knew that he was going to show up. Nobody knew he was going to show up, right? And all of a sudden, the guy's back in the tunnel, cameraman hits his button, calls up the producers there in Fox and goes, hey, Hamlin just jumped out of a goddamn cart back here. What do you want me to do? The next thing the producer says is, get a shot of it. Aaron, get your fine blonde ass over there right now. Right? Because nobody's going to tell Aaron Andrews no. Aaron Andrews can interview me on my deathbed. So why was it that nobody was able to get in there just for a minute? They couldn't even get a picture of the guy. You know?
Okay, I gotta throw a really, really funny twist on the whole thing right here, because this is the shit that I'm known for, pardon my language, at work, is coming up with funny little – I should have been a writer for Family Guy or something like that, for crying out loud. But just go with me here for a second. Would it not have been hilarious, and this would have been considered a conspiracy theory, I think, would it not have been hilarious if along those lines, you know, impersonating Hamlin or having somebody do it, the best scenario to do that in, unless there's some kind of a rule about, I guess in a sense the NFL would interject here, so this wouldn't be allowed. So it's a hypothetical, whatever, it's still funny as crap. Just think for a second, if the Bills, in their best attempt to psych their opponents out, if they got some other, you know, like a second stringer, they brought in somebody else, whatever, or whoever is actually replacing him, you know, his position. And, Lord, I don't even know. He was a defensive something or other. But would it not have been hysterical to take somebody replacing him and put his jersey on him? So put – I think he was number three, right? So put on his number three jersey and then put his helmet on and perhaps give him, like, those that dark shade cover, you know, so you can't see his face at all. Put some gloves on him and have him go out there and have Cincinnati be like, wait a minute, what the hell are they doing? This guy's playing? He just freaking collapsed 3 weeks ago. What are they doing? What the hell? No one's going to want to touch the guy. It's going to freak him out.
Totally get him off of their game. Yeah. I mean, it's genius. It might be criminal genius, but it's genius of what they're doing. And I don't know how many of you, I assume you guys have seen Godfather 2, but if you recall Frank Pantangeli, the guy who was ratting everybody out, when they went in front of all the politicians towards the end of the film and he was ratting out La Cosa Nostra and all that kind of jazz, was ratting out the mob and everything. And next thing you know, after so many days of testimony, Pantangeli's up there getting ready to unload some more stuff about Michael Corleone. And who does Corleone bring in? His non-English speaking trained killer Italian brother. And he walks into the courtroom, simply sits down next to Michael Corleone, and when Frank Pantangeli looks up and sees his brother, I don't know nothing. I forget everything. I don't know anything. What are you guys? I plead the fifth. And then Tom Hagen, who is Robert Duvall, pays him the visit and gives him the speech about how good soldiers back in the Trojan and Greek days would commit suicide instead of, you know, surrendering and this kind of stuff. And next thing you know, Frank gets in the hot bathtub, splits his wrist, and that's when Harry Dean Stanton finds him and Michael Corleone walks free. So to your point, you do have Damar Hamlin walk in there and the Bengals see it. What kind of psychological twist is that going to have on your play? You know, what is that going to do to your oomph, your ajigny foo-foo that night, you know? So, yeah, I thought it was pretty interesting. It wasn't as far out as, say, you know, like the Midnight Rider when Dusty Rhodes was suspended from Florida State Wrestling, and then another fat blonde guy with a black hat and a black mask called himself the Midnight Rider, who walked in and interviewed, like, Golden Sully, my friend Dusty Rhodes is on a suspension, Daddy. But the Midnight Rider is here to set the record straight. And people are going, who is this man? I mean, it's something to behold. But anyhow, yes, again, I repeat, when there's conspiracies, all you have to do is prove me wrong or prove me right. Or, as I said earlier today, make me a believer. Make me a believer. So, yeah, I thought it was pretty interesting. Pretty nifty stuff, you know, because we all heard the stories about, like, the Giants back in the day in the Meadowlands, how when they're kicking towards the ocean, they shut the doors on the east side of the stadium. But then when the visiting team is kicking that way, they open the doors back up. I don't know if y'all ever heard that urban legend or not. But what they're saying is that the ocean air, the ocean currents blow wind to the west. So when the visiting team is trying to kick field goals, they're kicking into a wind coming off the ocean via the various tunnels and everything else in Giant Stadium. But when the Giants are kicking in that direction, they secure all the doors. That's been a long-going urban legend, but cool. I'll hand it to the Bills.
Obviously not doing them much good this time. Of course, they take it to the playoffs.
Yeah, because they damn sure didn't show up. That was That was a shock for me. I thought they were going to be a little more competitive, but wow.
I did too.
And then your boy, Granny Hulkster, got his ankle rolled up on. They say it's a high ankle sprain, which, you know, a high ankle sprain for you and me puts us on crutches for 6 weeks and we lose work and all this kind of stuff. But for Patrick Mahomes, he'll just tape his whole leg up and go out there and throw for 17 touchdowns.
They made sure before they let him come back in, they made sure that the x-rays were negative. I mean, he did say that, after the game, that they weren't going to let him play until they made sure that the x-rays were negative. And that's why he got to come back in the second half. Now, Chad Hemme, he did a great job during that second quarter, and everything. And as far as I know, from what they're saying, that apparently the sprain wasn't as bad as his one ankle sprain that he had back in a couple of years ago when he was out, like 6 or 8 weeks or whatever. It wasn't as bad as that sprain. So apparently, I believe he's going to be able to get to play against the Bengals. So,
yeah, I hope he does, because if he doesn't, I ain't nothing I hate more than an excusable loss. There's nothing I hate more than, and Lord, the Cowboys are the worst ones for it. Let them have a towel guy out. Or let them have a peanut vendor fall down a damn flight of steps during the game. And when they lose by 6 touchdowns, the first thing out of their mouth is, well, had it not been for Joey the peanut guy busting his ass, man, we'd won that game. If Cincinnati goes in there and wins the game, I don't want to hear anything from Monday morning on, well, had Patrick Mahomes played, let's go in there. We got 3 games left in the season. Let's have some good ass football. You know what I mean?
Here, here.
What's going to be kind of ironic is if Kansas City wins, which I hope they do. I say this all the time. I will support my Chiefs, win or lose. I will always support my Kansas City Chiefs, no matter what. I mean, that's just the way that I am. Sure, I might be disappointed if they don't make it, but I'm not going to trash talk them like a lot of people do. And, I hate these people that they say they're fans, but, man, when they lose or whatever, man, they get on their bandwagon and they get on their soapbox derby and they start trashing Kansas City, and everything. But what I find out, what would be really interesting, if it came down to the Super Bowl, the Eagles versus the Chiefs. And I only say that because Travis Kelce's brother, Jason, plays for the Eagles.
That's right. He plays center. Yep.
So I think it would be kind of interesting. Of course, it might be kind of hectic for their mother because, with their mother, she's got the two-sided jersey. She's got the Chiefs jersey in the front and the Eagles jersey part in the back. It might be kind of nerve-wracking for their mom. I got to cheer for both of my boys here. I think that would be that would be an interesting Super Bowl if it came down to that.
Well, definitely. I can tell you the worst
right now than being a Colts fan, okay? Because not only do you have all the stupid shenanigans, and they look like morons, the dumb idiot decision-making coming from the owner, and then putting in, and I've said it before, I love Jeff Saturday to death. He's a great guy. He was a great center. I wish that I could see him as a part of the Colts organization, but I just don't think he's the right fit as a coach. Now, it could be a moot point moving forward. They did interview him. I don't know what's coming up next. But the last thing I'll say about it is the other thing about, you want to talk about being bashed by fans or whatever. What really freaking stinks is if you go back to, and sorry for the football tangent, but since we didn't have a topic anyway, I'm going to go there. Back when Andrew Luck was our quarterback, he was always getting the hell beat out of him because we had no offensive line to protect him. So he retires. Well, they leaked that info. Somebody, I think a reporter, leaked it, happened to leak it, and it got out right at the fourth quarter of a preseason home football game. So imagine the people that attend a preseason football game and around the fourth quarter have probably had more alcohol than,
oh God, yeah.
I don't know, fill in your fun comparison here. You know, those are the people that don't go to the actual season games. They pawn the season ticket holders, pawn their tickets off, and, you know, whatever. They sell them off or give them off to people because they don't want to go to preseason games. So you got your idiot drunks there who have been getting hammered all game, find out that Andrew Luck is retiring, and they start bitching and moaning about it. But to make things worse, that was publicized, and it was basically made out that that was – the general consensus of the entire fan base of the Colts. So those idiots whom I will never watch ever again who do, pardon the interruption, on ESPN, a couple of the biggest idiot morons that I've ever heard of. I will never, as soon as I see them come on, I turn the TV off because they are so flippant ignorant. And they basically, they, you know, tried to curse the Colts, and they said they couldn't stand the fan base, and they hope the Colts never do anything ever again. Even though the majority of the population, if you get out on social media or whatever, not that I really support social media, you will see that there were fans out there that say, good on him. The guy was getting the hell beat out of him. He needed to retire. So, you know, it's not his fault. He's down there trying to make the best of it and trying to still be with his team on the sideline. You know, it was terrible timing the way it was leaked out. Might have been terrible timing for him, but you know what? Sometimes when we're in those stressful situations, he may have thought he was going to be able to cope. He might have thought, you know what, I'm going to be a man about it and suck it up and go through. And then he got out there and, or, you know, got closer to it, and he's like, you know what, guys, I can't do this. And I'm, you know, and then somehow some idiot leaked it, and it got out, like, right during a game. Poor timing.
Yeah.
But now, all Colts fans, we have this negative, I guess, stigma, if you will, or almost no, connotation's not the right word. But when you say Colts fan, you know, we're just basically put in this category of a bunch of, you know, insensitive a-holes that just don't give a shit, and which is completely incorrect. So, yeah. Even if Kansas City loses,
guys,
it doesn't compare to what we get.
You guys will never live up to be as obnoxious as Cowboys fans, though. Just keep that in mind. So as long as there's Cowboys, you guys will always be safe. Now, real quick, like before we run out of time, because, of course, we're having to watch the clock a little better these days than what we were before, Dr. John has a
yes.
I'd like to give you a good 20 minutes on, and then we'll do our parting shots. I was speaking on somebody making a mysterious appearance. Dr. John, on the flip side, would like to address somebody important making a strange disappearance. So, Dr. John, you know the individual we speaketh of, so please take the next 20 minutes and tell me where this prick is at.
I'm sorry. I am mystified. I'm sorry,
mystified.
Sir. I'm mystified. Please remind me a little bit of the of the topic here.
Our country invading nuclear warhead shaking.
Oh.
Bareback
horse riding.
You're talking
about that conversation we had a little earlier today, right?
Yes. So,
okay. I'd be glad to. Yeah. You know, Dave and I were talking. We were on Jessica Jones' show, and it was a lot of fun. And we were talking about conspiracies there. And so I called Dave a little bit after the show was over, and we talked some more about conspiracies. And we talked about an interesting phenomenon in the Russia-Ukraine war, correct, Dave?
Absolutely.
That's right. We talked about an interesting phenomenon, and that phenomenon is this. during 9/11, there were tons of photographs. During every skirmish, during desert, you know, the desert storm stuff and all that, there were tons of photographs. There don't seem to be many photographs of the war in the Ukraine. Now, they talk, you know, we've spent, our country spent $91 billion to support the Ukraine, which I frankly don't find any fault with. But there just doesn't seem to be the plethora of evidence that we're used to. And I mean, you know, when I go to these sites, I on my phone, I get these news, these news flashes, and I click on them, and it looks like the same building that's been bombed out every time. I mean, they got one building they've taken their time. They've taken their time to use it from different angles, but it looks like the same building. And Granny and Tim, I want to ask you something. Do you recall seeing many battlefield pictures or many pictures of building of mass destruction and people laying around dead? I mean, I'm sorry to get gross, but I mean, you know, can y'all recall seeing many pictures like that?
Specifically for the Ukraine?
Yeah.
Well, the news showed them, but not that I am supporting or denying any claims, but I will say that it would be hard for me to prove that what I saw was actually in Ukraine. We'll put it that way. But they did show some footage in the beginning.
In the beginning.
Well, I say that because I don't, and I kind of feel like the topic has died down a bit, but I personally, I don't really care to watch the news. I know that means sometimes I'm not as informed, that I'm not up to date on current events, so call me an idiot. I'm tired of seeing a lot of the political garbage, a lot of the here's who killed who, here's, you know, all the other depressing crap going on in the world. So sometimes I just tune it out for a long stretch. And I honestly, it's funny you say it, because I had not heard anything about it since yesterday. And all it was talking about is how we've agreed to supply a bunch of tanks, but it's going to take months for them to get there. So that's why I say in the beginning, when all this started to go down and everyone was like, WTF is going on over there right now, that's when we were kind of tuning in. And it was really odd, but they were showing video of like Russian troops kind of just sitting there. I don't know if they were waiting for further orders or what, but the residents were actually coming up to them and joking around and saying, nope, everything's fine now, you can go back home, or something to that effect. And the Russian soldiers would actually kind of like laugh along with them. I can't prove the authenticity of that. It was shown on the nightly news, but just to go back, you know, it appeared as though that's what they were showing. Since the topic here is conspiracy theories, could that have been from something else? Hell yeah, could have CNN proved that. I think CNN were the ones trying to show storm damage and say that it was part of, I don't know, fill in the blank here. And really, it was, I think, a few years old. I don't know if you all remember that. Yeah. But, you know, so God only knows what I saw.
I mean,
yeah,
the only thing
was the guy. Go ahead, Dr. John, you got it.
No. What I was going to say is the only thing that we know about today is that Donald Trump got his Facebook account back.
Yeah, I saw that.
That seemed to be the hot news of the day.
Really?
Interesting. Yeah. Well, Zuck is trying to mend fences. He's trying to get back on the good side of the general populace, and I think he's another one that's figured out that supporting the woke agenda does not pay the bills, and you make business decisions and you make emotional decisions. And if he's going to be the guy in charge of Facebook, he needs to make business decisions when it comes down to the business of Facebook. So
you
want to
talk about conspiracies and crookedness, that guy is right there at the top of the list. I'm
oh,
a member
Christ,
of
yeah.
Facebook. I will admit it, but I guarantee you that dude is as crooked as a frickin' question mark.
Or as we say in the mountains, crooked as a dog's hind leg. Granny, you ever heard that one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's this whole thing in Ukraine is a big question mark because, like I said, no doubt there's something going on there. And my heart goes out to those people involved. Absolutely. I by no means am I saying it's not happening. It's but what I'm saying is it's the strangest.
Yeah, I did rate that too. I'm not saying that at all.
Yeah, it's and like I was telling Dr. John earlier is that everybody has a phone now. And, you know, we were talking about UFO sightings and everything. I said the thing that kind of added legitimacy to these UFO sightings now is that people are taking video of this stuff. It's not just me saying, hey, I was out letting the dog take a squirt and I saw four yellow lights in the sky. And everybody's like, yeah, well, you know, Atwell, what did he put in that cigar that night? And then the excuse was always, well, I didn't have a Polaroid or my Kodak in the gift in the glove box of my car. Nowadays, phones, and I jest when I say that, when I say this, is that running around on your spouse is so much harder now because of cell phones, because you're sitting in a restaurant somewhere eating with somebody else, and a friend of your wife and or husband looks over and goes, hey, isn't that so-and-so husband over there? And a text is sent, hey, I think this is your husband eating at this restaurant. Hang on, I'm sending a pic. Kerchak. And before the dessert is served, your wife and or husband is at said establishment ready to beat your ass. So when it comes down
to... I'm sorry,
to
that was funny. That was very funny, Dave.
It's the truth, though. It's hard to walk away from stuff now because of the information flow and the readiness of it. So when you think about any foreign conflict we've had or domestic conflict, for God's sake, think about all the pictures that you've seen of Gettysburg. Think about all the pictures you saw of Vietnam, of World War II, of World War I, of Pearl Harbor, of 9/11, as I told Dr. John earlier today, 100% of the photos taken before 9/11 were us. It was people with cell phones enjoying their day who took a picture of the Twin Towers just the second a plane was getting ready to fly into it. They didn't have a news crew out there covering that stuff. So my point being is, these folks who live in the conflict zone, when they show these blown up, you know, they'll get on there and they say, oh, well, you know, missile attack in an apartment complex, civilian casualties, and they show a blown up apartment complex. What you don't see are bodies. You don't see blood, and you don't see tattered clothing, and you don't see the usual things that come with human destruction. And I don't want to see it. I don't want people to die, for God's sake. But my point being is that it's a very, very, very odd conflict when it comes down to the coverage. So, and then Putin's missing. God knows where he's floating at. So
now that right there is the biggest mystery of all, because we do know that he had at one point four body doubles. So, I mean, we don't know if what those body doubles aren't just, you know, that they don't even know. They're just told what to say and do by somebody. They don't know where Putin is. They don't. And that's the whole deal. I mean, nobody knows where the guy is. I mean, we know Kim Jong-un, he's drunk most of the time now.
I hear you.
It was really interesting. There was a story about that, and it came through on my news feed, and I clicked on it, and it said this page. Then it showed him, like, looking drunk as a skunk at a meeting. Then all of a sudden, the page blanked out and said, this page cannot be found. It's like they took that thing down.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I didn't know what to do. I mean, I wanted to read the story.
because I'm not a Kim Jong-un fan, and anything bad about him, I cheer.
Yeah.
He's a monster, just like Putin, and just like President Xi over in China. I think they're all monsters. And,
yeah.
You know, let's live a little bit of peace, not war. Let's not torture people, you know, and all that stuff. You know, but I mean, I'm sorry, I guess I was probably tortured in a previous life, or I'm just so against it. I mean, let's be nice to people. I mean, you know, I'll give somebody a ride if they need one and all this stuff. I mean, we don't have to be this way, but, you know, I don't know. Nobody asks me. So I'm just busy running the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, okay? and you know,
about the Ukraine thing is I don't want anybody having any type of it's not that I'm wishing there to be conflict, not that I'm wishing to see gory photos. That's not my point. Where my point lies as a tax-paying, 100% red, white, and blue-blooded American gentleman is with all the stuff that I see, I see the city of Oakland being taken over by homeless people, where I see when I go to pick up a bag of damn hot dogs at the Walmart and I see three or four veterans, or at least ones who claim to be veterans, sitting on the side of the road with a piece of cardboard out asking for change at stoplights. When I see the slums, when I see bad schools, and I think about when I see food stamps, for crying out loud, let me throw that one out there. When I see single moms, and I think about that $91 million or $91 billion, sorry, I had a Dr. Evil moment there, $91 billion, and that was last month. That's not counting the tanks and anything else that's been sent to Ukraine's way. Where is that $91 billion going? I don't – and again, when I say I don't see any bodies in pictures, I'm not seeing rows of artillery. I see more artillery running up and down the roads here in Onslow County, bussing around between Cherry Point and Bragg and Lejeune than what I do. $91 billion. Are they just buying everybody Lunchables? I mean, there's guys. Where is that fiddly sticking money going? Because there's so much that we can solve here in the United States with that same amount of money. We can make a lot of lives a lot better and a lot more productive. So let me see the planes. Let me see the artillery. Let me see the tanks, the Jeeps, the Humvees. Let me see the rows and rows and rows of well-dressed soldiers going into battle. That way I know where the hell my money's going. But right now, I have no freaking idea. And with all the collusion that we're pulling up on guys like Hunter Biden, okay, we got to wonder if that $91 billion isn't getting funneled into a lot of other pockets that we as the civilian populace of the United States, consider to be the bad guys. And Dr. John just named off a handful of them. I don't have a problem with you spending my tax money. I don't have the least bit of problem with my tax money funding food stamps. But I do have a problem when you're using them for crab legs, because crab legs aren't a staple. You know what I mean? If I was to buy $100 worth of groceries for a homeless person, I wouldn't buy them crab legs. So when my tax money goes into federal assistance, don't let me catch you buying ribeyes and crab legs with it. I think it's a small thing to ask for me giving away my money as a taxpayer. So when you send $91 billion to a country that doesn't really give a shit about us anyway, where? So That's me. I'll get off my Hank Hill soapbox. Now, Dave, I want to know where my money went. I can buy all kinds of stuff with that money there. You know, I don't know. And like I said, Putin suddenly disappearing.
Well, I don't think, now, Dave, I don't think he has suddenly been disappearing. I think over time he has been replaced with his body doubles. That's what I think.
Because if they don't take any close-up.
And I've kind of identified one of them, and I saw a picture that said Putin doing something. That's one of his body.
Yeah, because a guy of his intelligence, a guy of his savvy, a guy of his importance does not walk around without some type of body double. I mean, damn, Saddam Hussein had them. Muammar Gaddafi had them. I mean, you want to talk about recent guys who were kind of tilting the brink of madness. Those guys had them. And, you know, we all remember those times when those gentlemen, and I use gentlemen loosely, went black. And when I use the term black, I mean went dark, went disappeared. And were eventually found and dealt with. But yeah, it's just very, very curious. And how is Zelensky still walking around? How is the president of a country that's being invaded doing a podcast? You know what I mean? Because that guy, there shouldn't, if I'm him and I know that Russia, if I know Putin in particular, is looking to get hold of my ass, I don't want him to know any. I don't want him to, because they're going to go, okay, comrade, he's in room. Paint is mauve. Mauve paint. They only paint mauve rooms in this section of Ukraine. And the next thing you know, ba-bang, they're beating on your door. Hell, if we found Eric Rudolph rummaging through a damn dumpster, you don't think we can't find Zelensky when he's doing damn internet interviews? Come on, man. Jesus Christ. Anyhow, we'll have to pick
well,
back
again,
up on this.
Again, Dave, I'm going to be the somewhat devil's advocate now and say, how sure are you that that really is him and not a body double?
Yeah. Yeah, he might already
Buddy Rowe, yep. I'm gonna put that right out there. I mean, Biden, all you have to do is find someone that can fall down, and that's perfect body double for him.
Yeah, Biden falls up steps. That's what makes Biden a visionary. He doesn't fall down the steps; he falls up the steps. This is a guy who hides his own Easter eggs. Anything's possible with Biden. I'm telling you. Ice cream eating, country destroying. Okay, Dave, shut up. Anywho, it is.
They just did a survey. I just saw a survey that said the majority of Democrats think Joe Biden should run again. Great.
Well, who are they? Who are they? I want a Democrat to stand in front of me and tell me that I understand cheering for the home team. I get that. I mean, because it was a real bitch when McCain, God rest his soul, McCain and Romney, two guys that are as un-Republican as Republicans can get, were the guy for the Republican ticket in the primaries. And I'm standing there as a registered Republican going, I can't vote for this guy. He's a boob. I can't vote for these people. They don't represent what I feel. I can't vote for these guys. So I understand what it's like to have to vote within your party lines, but your representative is somebody that's totally out of reach from how you feel. You know what I mean? But when it comes down to Biden, man, I mean, the amount of just carnage the guy has created – and it's just mind-numbing, the stuff that he's done. But, you know, when they say we've surveyed these people, again, credibility lies in the facts. Numbers don't lie. And when you tell me, it's like right now, I can get on here and tell you, well, I have a perfect marriage. I have two children that are fantastic. I have four grandchildren that are wonderful. I'll tell you that all day because they are. But I'd be lying to you if I told you there weren't times in my life where I didn't have to break out a goddamn bamboo stick on all of them. You know what I mean? It's if you say, okay, well, we've polled a bunch of Democrats, and they all said, yeah, they're leaning towards Biden. Okay, well, where are they? Who are they? Where's the pictures of them raising their hand? Where are the videos? Pull your phone out, because everybody's got a goddamn phone. Pull your phone out and let them say, hi, my name is Joe, Joe Smith, and I think Biden is fantastic, and I will be voting for him in 2024. And I'll shut up. But we don't see that. We just have to take somebody's word for it. So when I call you tomorrow afternoon, Dr. John, and I say, hey, man, I ate the Great 96er. You remember the Great 96er on with John Candy? That's right. Unless you saw me eating the damn thing, it's just my word at that point, right? So again, when just because somebody says something doesn't necessarily mean, you know, and perhaps they are correct because they do ballot harvesting and all that kind of sketchy crap to get votes, but that's a different show. Anyhow, we're getting close, guys. We're going to have to do a quick kick around the room because we're probably looking at about 8 minutes, maybe 10 at the very most we can play with. So, Granny, some quick parting shots, my dear, please.
Well, I just hope that everybody has a great rest of the week, and I was glad to be able to be a part of the show tonight. So,
it was great to have you here, and hopefully things will improve for you. We won't get deep into the situation, but, you know, as always, the thoughts and nothing but good thoughts and hopes for the best heading your way, because I totally understand.
And Anthony's birthday was Monday, by the way. And
that's
when
right.
I told him what I told him about what you said last week, you know, and everything, and when I said about the granny villain thing, and I said, well done, and you said, well done, Anthony. He just got the biggest kick out of that, guys. He just thought that was absolutely amazing. But he had a good birthday.
Great.
He turned 36. He turned 36 on Monday, so.
Outstanding. Well, big happy birthday, Anthony. Buddy, I hope you had the best celebration, ate a lot of cake. I hope the women run you dead, chasing you around the house. I hope everything went your way for your birthday.
Well, he did get a baseball cap from Killer Kate at the Diamond State Wrestling Show Sunday night for his birthday.
Which is
and
better than what I got
it for him. So,
hell yeah. Well, congratulations.
You probably saw the picture on Facebook that I posted of it. So.
Yeah, big congrats to him. Big happy birthday. Pass it on to him again because
I will.
He's a fine young man. And, yeah, nothing but the best, man. Happy birthday, big guy.
Well, he's
so
a fine young man because he's got a fine young mother.
That's right.
Well, thank you, Dr. John.
Well, just had to get that one in.
Well done, Dr. John. I'm talking, that was like smooth right there, man. Well delivered. I need to bring you to the club with me and just make you my spokesperson. Hey, you see her over there? Go talk to her for me, Dr. John. Tim, parting shots do you have, sir?
So we'll say happy birthday to Anthony. That's pretty awesome. I also want to give a birthday shout-out to my son, Tanner, who's going to have a birthday tomorrow. He'll be 11 years old.
Happy birthday,
Papa Stroh's birthday. Yes, thank you all. Papa Stroh is going to be celebrating the birthday, too, wherever he's out there in what,
happy
TV
birthday,
land.
Happy birthday,
Stroh. And just in case anybody was wondering, no, it wasn't as bad as what they said it was going to be. The snowstorm that hit, it was a heavy snow. It snowed a lot. But the ground was warm, didn't really cause too big of a debacle. I was home working anyway, and I will be the rest of the week, and that's my sign-off, and have a good week, everyone. Stay safe out there, gang.
Outstanding. And, Tim, I appreciate you joining us this evening and input. Great show tonight, man. I had a good time. Dr. John, what kind of parting shots do you have this evening, sir? Talk to me.
The parting shot that I have is we're closing down the network. No podcasts Thursday and Friday, but we'll have Clyde Lewis on 10 p.m., Ground Zero, the number one paranormal podcast in the world. We're so pleased to be Clyde's first internet partner, and we're just so proud of that, number one. And number two, Dave Atwell and I will be at the Moorhead City Pop, Swap, and Toy Show at Carolina Elite Gymnasium Saturday from opening from about 11:30 to 5. It's going to be a lot of fun. We got a bunch of vendors. We got like 24 tables worth of vendors. Can you believe that, Dave Atwell? They've been coming out of the woodwork.
That's outstanding news.
Well, here's the deal. I don't know what we're going to have, but, I mean, we've done a lot of publicity. The Chamber of Commerce has been helpful.
And the boys.
The boys have been helpful. Adam and his wife, April, have been very helpful because we're running it at their place. And so we're going to have a lot of fun. And I can't wait. I just love getting out and doing an event. And we're just going to have a great time. So that's what we're going to do this weekend. And then we're back at it Monday night with Scary Cast, Tuesday night with Scary Cast Tuesday, Wednesday night with Pop Culture Stars. And then the week after next, we're going to be announcing a brand new show on our network on Thursday night from 8 to 9. I'm sorry, from 9 to 10. And it will be Conspiracy Theories 101, starring Dr. John and Kyler Smith. He'll be moving from Scarycast Tuesday over to Conspiracy Theories 101 with an occasional appearance by Dave Atwell. So we got a lot to be looking forward to, and April 1st, the Georgia Bigfoot Conference in Dillard, Georgia. It's going to be a mass. It's going to be so much fun. So we got a lot of great fun things going on. And I want to thank Transamerica for helping keep this boat afloat as we move forward and sail into the sun, not in the sunset, but as we sail into the sun for bright days in the future. Thank you, Dave.
Outstanding. Yeah, I appreciate all your hard work and companionship. Means the world to me, and I look forward to doing all these activities coming up. It's going to keep me busy. And
That's good. That's good. It'll keep you out of Dale's hair.
With a lack thereof as things continue on. I can tell you, today we did a podcast. It didn't go as planned, unfortunately. Long story with a short ending. But Miss Jessica Jones on YouTube, the Cryptid Huntress, what a lovely, fantastic, supportive lady. If you get a chance to go look at her videos on YouTube, please do so. Just don't watch the video that me and Dr. John was in today because I laid a big egg.
You were fine, Dave. Come on. We will have none of that. You were fine.
Anywho, big thanks to her. We're going to try to have her on here if we didn't run her off today.
She's coming back next week, right?
And she's fantastic, and love her to death already. Haven't had time or the opportunity to shake hands with her, but the interactions I've had with her so far have been nothing but awesome. And she is very astute, entertaining, and fun. Just cool lady. So
She's a good friend of the Scarycast Network and Dave Atwell and Robin McCray and Trey Dunaway. She's met them all, and it's just she's a nice person. We're just so glad to have her. She's kind of part of our team now, you know?
And once you get on, you are for life. So just to kind of echo a big happy birthday to Tanner, huge happy birthday, because he's what going to be, what, 14?
Oh, Lord, no, not quite there yet. Slow down. He's going to be 11.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I was thinking he was 13 last year, but he was 10 last year is what it was then. I knew it was one of those.
I'll bet perhaps Rachel is the one you're thinking of. I don't know if I've mentioned her before. That's my 13-year-old. She will be 14 in March.
Okay.
Or is she 13 going on 17?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, brace yourself for impact. I can go ahead and tell you ahead of time. To him, happy birthday to Anthony, and happy birthday to Stroh. Stroh, wherever you're at there, I hope you're holding it together there, my brother. I realize that times haven't been too kind to you either, and just keep punching, man. Just keep getting it. It's the law of averages. Things cannot be turds every time. Sooner or later, you've got to roll something other than the snake eyes, and that's what I keep telling myself as the year of the three continues to kick my ass. But nevertheless, I hope everybody has a fantastic, safe week. And I guess with all the stuff going on and everything, real quick, like, I just want to say, I know we've been doing the conspiracy theories quite a bit here lately because they keep just seeming to come the hell up and everything. But I think where we've screwed up as a society, and when I say society, I ain't talking about just America. I feel like just society is people alone. I think that we've gotten into a habit where we've quit asking questions. We quit asking questions. So when somebody walks up to you and says, here you go, I got you a drink. I don't drink it. Hell, I don't even drink drinks that Dale made me. I don't know what she's put in the damn thing. I know people nowadays are quick to say, ah, man, you're crazy. You're out of your mind. If I come home with lipstick on my collar, my shirt untucked, and I don't have hair anymore, but let's say my beard hair is messed up, and Dale says, who you been with? And I look at her and go, you're out of your mind. No, don't be afraid to ask questions when things aren't adding up. And the more we do that, the more we press, the more we go on offense instead of defense. And I don't know about you guys, but I can tell you as a dad, as a manager, as a granddad, a son, an uncle, and everything else that I have titles for, is the more I know, better decisions I can make. So when it comes down to these sketchy things you're seeing, let them call you every name until you get the truth. And I don't think it's too damn much to ask for the truth. So
no, it's not.
That being said, I'll leave us with that and everything because we got about 2 minutes. I'm not even going to mess around with going into Atwell Manor because I know we're pressing time.
Dave, can I please say one thing? Everybody that's listening, please go to facebook.com/scarycast and click on the pinned post and go listen to the amazing Clyde Lewis, Ground Zero Radio. Back to you, Dave.
Because he is next. That is right. Wow, how cool is that? We can actually say, and coming up next. Actually,
he is coming up next.
That is cool. Anywho, we appreciate everybody joining us here. As always, pop culture stars, everybody have a safe, fantastic, and generous. That's a word we don't use often on here. Generous, kind, and as our brother Todd would say, big hugs, people. Y'all take care of one another, and we will talk to you next week here, pop culture stars. We're going to do the manual shutoff, so that way I know we're on time. British lady. Talk to me. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Au revoir. Au revoir. Au revoir.